They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to a very...
No, stop. Stop right there. Just...
Okay.
Just take a second and listen.
Okay. I don't hear anything.
Exactly. God. Isn't it amazing?
I see what you're getting at. David and I are broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, also known as Chicago, with a Stargate to parts unknown Colorado. And we're doing it, as he's alluding to, without the quote-unquote help of the bots. They're with John this week for court-mandated visitation.
Oh, my God. Mandated, because neither of you wanted him, so the court said you both had to take turns keeping him.
Yeah. Sometimes justice sucks, but our guests this week don't suck.
Hey, hell of a transition there, bro.
I bet your ass it was.
A-plus, my friend.
Those broadcast classes are paying off there, Monty. So, David, tell our listeners who we have in store for the first time this week on Hysteria 51.
My pleasure. We are welcoming in Amber Rose Hammond. For over 20 years, Amber Rose has been researching the supernatural, weird, and offbeat history of Michigan. She is an avid local history and cemetery enthusiast, and she's lectured extensively around the state of Michigan at libraries, conferences, and historical cemetery tours, all kinds of stuff. And she shared her love of Michigan's weird side with thousands. She's the author of Ghosts and Legends of Michigan's West Coast, Wicked Ottawa County, Wicked Grand Rapids, and now Mysterious Michigan.
Oh, man, she keeps this up. She's going to write as many books as we have. They're most erotic fiction that we do, and they never get published. But, you know, we write them.
We write them.
You know.
It's not a question of whether it's written or not. So now, don't question us on that. You hear me? Don't you dare question
me. You sons of bitches. How dare. I actually met Amber Rose through you, actually, and your other show, Quiz Quiz Bang Bang. Her and I were a team together not too long ago, and that's going to come out, I think, later this month on your show.
Yeah, it should be. When this comes out, it should probably be within the week.
Awesome.
Maybe
perfect
even
timing.
A few days.
So yeah. She really impressed me. She was awesome. Way, way smarter and can remember things on the fly way better than I can. So thank God that she was my partner. How did you meet her? Because you've had her on Blurry Photos before.
I have. Yeah. She is a co-host of Ghostly Talk podcast. And I had her on with her partner, Scott, to talk about EVPs. And this is like COVID times, I think. It was just within the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And she's great. She's wonderful to work with. She's smart. She's funny. She knows her stuff. And she's got a real passion for this type of lore and history, and it really resonates with me. So
he likes her so much. If this was 1960, he wouldn't even want her to have a lobotomy. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
I would just put up with her bulls stuff. I forgot there might be children listening. Bull stuff.
Bull stuff. Thank you.
Her womanly shenanigans, let's say.
No, she's awesome. She's smart. And she is an avid speaker, lecturer. If you go to her website, please do. You'll find links to it in the notes. She's speaking at schools, at cons, at libraries, like every week, multiple times, on top of her cemetery tours that she does. So, holy cow, good for her. She is out there just slamming
busted
away and all over Michigan. You know, she focuses. Yeah, now she's
over Michigan. That's right.
She's
busted. She makes you feel good. So
but, Sometimes it does. So yeah, we're going to go to break real quick, and when we come back, Amber Rose is going to join us, and we're going to talk all that goes bump in the night in and around, in on and around Michigan. That's coming up after the break on Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And, you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I hope your butts are prepared. You have no time left to do it because we are welcoming in author Amber Rose Hammond. She has just written Mysterious Michigan, as we have set up before this. We've got her here now. We're going to talk to her about this book. Amber Rose, how the hell are you? Welcome.
I'm pretty good. I love that. I love that introduction, like, about the butts. That's really good, David. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Mine is taut.
We warned them.
I just like using the word taut, so not even quite sure what that means, but I just wanted to say my butt is taut.
I could lose a quarter in this butt.
I can't bounce it, but I'll lose it. My butt is mysterious, because I'd be more on on brand. Anyway, enough about my butt. Amber Rose.
Oh, God.
Welcome to the show. I know you've been on with Dave before on Blurry Photos, but it's your first time on Hysteria 51. Welcome.
It is. I'm so excited. Your podcast is so awesome, and you have so many cool guests and topics. My cat is already excited because he's already jumped up on my podcast table, and he's coming towards me.
He's like, who are these fools? I don't like their voices.
My little cat,
your animal can't sense evil.
You're making us look bad over here. You're chugging out books. You're constantly doing lecture tours and things like that. I'm sitting in my basement most nights eating pizza. So
no, that's accurate for me too. You make me sound more important than I am. I do. This is my fourth book, but my last book I wrote in like 2014. It's been a hot second, and I thought, hey, let's do like a pandemic project.
What a loser! Only a book every 8 years.
So I thought, let's work on something while we're all locked in a basement. And that wasn't really a good idea. Like, I am ADD. I don't take any medication, never have for it. And just sitting there in your basement trying to work on something, and you're just constantly distracted by like cat, snacks, husband, toys. Let's rearrange that. Oh, let's look at that book. And it was a challenge. It was a little bit of a challenge.
Well, when you do this, so this is your fourth time. So I know it's been a little while, but you've done this. When you go, like your newest one, you're looking at the mysteries, how mysterious Michigan is. What is your process? Like, how do you approach something that's that daunting of a task? It would be to me, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
This book, I, for years, my hobby, my side hobby, because I've always had a job that's allowed me to sit in front of a computer and have downtime where I can do something cool, like search old newspaper indexes or sit on Ancestry or just look at weird stuff on the internet. And so I would, for years, like 15 plus years, I've been searching through newspapers, just collecting endless stories that I find are weird. And then going from there, because you can just keep just spidering out from there and looking up other weird stuff. And this book was just a collection of these miscellaneous stories that I have found over the years. Didn't know what to do with them, how to put them into something. And then I wanted to also create a book that, I'm getting older. Like, I'm not ancient by any means. You know, I'm 41. But I did a talk for Grand Valley State University, which is my alma mater. And it was for this guy was doing this amazing art class where he was talking about like the occult and paranormal and how it influences art. And all the kids had to pick something within the paranormal and apply it to their art project. And I was like, oh my God, if I was there and this class was there, mind blown. But he had me come like do a Zoom talk for his class during the pandemic. And I'm sitting there doing my usual spiel, talking about ghosts in West Michigan and stuff, which I'm just numb to now. Like, a lot of it doesn't spook me out at all. I'm just telling the story. And I see all the kids in the chat start going, oh my God, she's talking about the Ada Witch. I just checked it out last night. I saw something. And someone else is like, I just got the chills. And I'm like, how? And it just reminded me, oh my God, there is a younger generation that this stuff is all new to them, just like it was once new to me.
Right.
And I wanted to include stories that have long been my favorite, but kind of add my twist to it or extra research or maybe how it was poorly researched in 20 years ago. Let's put the correct research in there. And nice. So I feel like the book is a combination of like really brand new stuff that people have never heard of and then some fan favorites. So I think it's good for like the experienced person in paranormal history and, you know, the person that's brand new to it. But my process is just collecting that information, and then trying to find as much out as I can about it through every, I try to exhaust all the sources I can. And sometimes my sources are very limited, especially when it comes to genealogy and stuff. Sometimes like people just drop off the face of the planet and you find what you find and that's it. But it's just collecting that information and then trying to put it in some type of somewhat enjoyable, readable format.
I think you succeeded at that very much, because I appreciate how much history is in the book. You did a lot of research into the beginnings of stuff. So you tell the story, but you also give just a heck of a lot of background on it and put it all into context with what was going on and how it relates to Michigan and, you know, the main figures, the players that were big at the time and stuff. And it's really enjoyable because there is a ton of information that you can learn from instead of just being like, well, people saw some ghosts and that might be weird, you know? So it's like, I really appreciated the amount of information that goes into this as well.
David, yeah, that's what I'm a total nerd for. Like, I feel there is so much behind like the history and hauntings, and to show how often the supernatural has played a part in our history, no matter what state you're in, it's there. It's in every area across the globe. The supernatural has somehow affected something in a really cool, weird way. And it's, I love that stuff.
Yeah. It's so wild how much it was in play with the spiritualist movements and like people's wills and just murder trials, all that stuff.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Yeah. When you can test a will because spirits were involved, I'm on board. I'm on board.
Oh my God. I love that story. And I, back around 2012, I was researching. Oh, what was I doing one night? Well, I want to know if the Fox Sisters of spiritualism fame had ever toured Michigan or made a stop somewhere while they were doing like their medium thing. And I found out that Margaret Fox was indeed in Detroit, but it wasn't to do a show or anything. She was sucked into a trial for Eber Ward, which was Michigan's and Detroit's first millionaire and one of the richest men in the Midwest. He was an industrial titan of like back in the day, helping usher in all of that stuff, because he had his foot in the door when it came to mining, lumber, shipping, everything.
Railroads.
And then he's largely
all the monopoly pieces. He had them all.
Yeah, he had
exactly.
He also won $10 in a beauty contest.
He even had Marvin Gardens.
he did everything, and he got his advice by going to mediums. He would go to seances, and he would get advice on what mine to buy, what business move to make next. And then what really angered his family was when he would use spirits to help dictate his will. And when you have $120 million at the time of your death, which is just an astronomical amount, and that's in today's dollars, $120 million. And of course, he got remarried. So he has his first family. They're all adults. And then he goes and after he divorces that woman, 60 days later, he marries a woman half his age. Imagine that.
It was true love.
And of course they have two kids, and then she's fighting for all of his money. And what was bonkers is, as someone that in the 21st century that's going back and reading this stuff, you know what mediums Ward was talking to that were utter frauds. Like, some of your listeners might be familiar with the name Henry Slade, and Slade was a notorious like sham medium. He came up with the whole concept of slate writing, where you'd have these little messages show up on chalkboards. And the whole thing was just sleight of hand.
Do you think he intended it to be called Slade writing?
I know. It's kind of funny. Slade. I know. I always think kind of chuckle at how like close that is.
Damn it, enunciate.
But he would go to him, and I know that dude was a fraud. And he was busted time and time again over his career, but he just never quit, because there's always going to be the believers no matter what. And so he was at the trial attesting to what was, you know, he did for Ward during the seances, what was said. And then you got Margaret Fox coming and talking about what she did for Ward and said, and how she directed the spirits towards his will. And then you got these other mediums that were pretty cool. Some of them I do feel were legit or were more honest, felt what they did was genuine. At least they believed it to be genuine. And really, I think poor Eber Ward was being manipulated much more by the living than the dead, because it's pretty much been proven that at least his wife, well, his wife and his son, I believe, were paying these mediums, knowing that Eber was going to go to one of their seances and ahead of time slipping them some cash saying, you know what, Eber's coming. Please tell him to give me the Lumberlands that my ancestors and my spirits on the other side really want that. Because, you know, that Ludington Lumberland's really good. And of course, that's what Margaret or anybody else would then tell Eber during that seance session. And one of the mediums that was a little more honest, Emma Martin, she told Ward, hey, this guy offered me like $25,000, some ridiculous amount, to get you to buy this particular mine over in Utah or somewhere. And she refused to do it. And she told Ward about it. So that just proves that people knew that they could manipulate this guy through this means. And he was just forgotten because his assets were sold off so fast. His wife eventually, the second wife eventually remarried. So she loses the last name of Ward. And then he's just gone and a footnote. And people were a little, I think, like, ooh, that guy, maybe he was a little crazy. So let's just kind of forget him, you know?
Mm-hmm. I got a question for you. Do you think that the people that were telling him before, when he made his money, you know, going to these, consulting these spiritualists, and they're telling him which mines and stuff and parcels of land and things to buy, was he just getting lucky, or were they just getting lucky? Or do you think there were like 9 misses to every 1 hit and we just talk about the hits?
It's possible. It's possible that was happening. I know the one spirit he channeled, or that his medium Emma Martin channeled, was a German geologist nicknamed Cabbage John.
And sounds very German.
Old Cabbage John. Yeah. His real name was Bratwurst. I don't even know. Never mind. I'm not going to go down. I'm not going to get the anger of our German listeners.
Guten Tag, everyone. My name is Cabbage John. Auf Wiedersehen.
It does somehow feel culturally insensitive or weird. Like whenever I say it to someone, I'm like, Cabbage John. Like, I don't know. Something seems wrong about this, but it's so great. It's such a great name. I don't know. I don't know if really he was just genuinely getting good spirit advice from
there's also a octopus that's picked like the last 9 Super Bowl winners, so you know. There are those things, you know, who knows.
And I know Ward had losses, like he didn't make as much all this money without having a few losses, so. And yeah, like you said, that stuff isn't always reported. I am totally geeked because what are the odds? It's just synchronicity, or it seems like when you start searching something and then all of a sudden someone else gets in the collective ether and someone else starts researching and looking them up. And I ended up finding out that there is a professor over on the west side of the state that has written a biography on Eber Ward that's not going to be out until November. So like a total nerd, I wrote him and was like, oh my God, I'm so excited about your book. And he was like, how did you hear about this? So I'm like the only person that's probably written them.
I'm excited to read your book.
Me.
Why? That's all. What is wrong with you?
So I was excited about it. I'm probably the first to pre-order it and everything, but I know he's going to put in a lot of those historical details, like his money, his finances, stuff that I don't necessarily care as much about, like all of shipping and, you know, railroads and all that. But like, good. Water someone works. Else way smarter than me did that part. Awesome. I just want to focus on like
the fun stuff.
The trial and the spiritualism. And then, hey, this is the kind of, I feel like this is my mission with people, is that I introduce people to their local history or their state history in a really weird, fun, entertaining, spooky way. And then if you get into it, then you can go deeper and go look up some more serious stuff or whatever. But I know that it's a good gateway drug to history.
Nice.
Yeah. I always make the joke that, you know, when I was a kid, I hated reading and doing research and writing papers. And now I do one a week, if not more, you know, and who would know that now I love doing it. And then when I'm not doing research or digging around for stuff, that is a specific topic for the show, I'm still reading and watching and looking up things in this world. I'm a glutton for punishment or something, but it is a drug, and it's a hell of a drug because, yeah, I've been, you know, hook, line, and sinker with it. For sure.
Yeah. I feel like I'm just now ready to go to college. This is the type of stuff they wanted me to do back then, and I had no idea what I was doing.
Remember when they'd be like, you need 10 sources? And I'm like, how? Yeah. That's not even possible. Yeah.
That's the part that I go to now in books. I'm like, I got to check out that bibliography.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's a sexy bibliography. Look at all those sources. Like, I geek out over a good bib.
I think that is a new, that it was just birthed into the ether. Sexy bibliography.
Show us your bibs.
Jeez. Oh, God. Nice. Now I need a shirt that says.
That's great.
So do you have anything else on the horizon? I mean, other than like the lecture and stuff, are you working on another book? You're getting ready to lock yourself in the dungeon with a pack of cigarettes and pound it out. I can just see with an old-timey typewriter for some reason.
I have other ideas I'd like to work on. There, in the end of the book, I mention an artist, a spirit artist, Marian Spohr Bush, and I've had a lot of weird, just cool synchronicities with her as I've been researching her for years. And I'd like to do something more with her. And then I really want to write, like, I'm a cemetery nerd. So yeah. I really, really, really want to work on something that focuses on cemetery lore and legend and history in the state. And so I've kind of started to map some stuff out with that.
That's cool. And you do tours of cemeteries and stuff too, right?
Yeah. We started doing, we call them wicked cemetery tours in West Michigan, and it was based off, I have two true crime books. Say that fast. I am not a big true crime fan, but while you're doing a lot of this research and you're going through these newspapers, you always find these stories that are just bonkers. And you're like, okay. And there are murders, like crazy stuff, prostitution. And so those two books, my book, Wicked Grand Rapids and Wicked Ottawa County, just because I'm originally from that part of Michigan, those were easy to write, and it was fun getting the history out there. But then we started doing a cemetery tour based on the more notorious residents of some of the local cemeteries in our Grand Haven area over there along Lake Michigan. And it's been fun. Like, some people think they hear Wicked cemetery tour and they read the description, I would think, that just says, hey, you know, a true crime cemetery tour. We still every year we'll get people that show up, and they, as soon as we say, by the way, this is not a ghost tour, and like, they just walk away. Like, how? You're not interested in suckers. Like murder?
Right? Yeah.
Like, come on. So, but it is another thing too that just gets people excited. Then we'll have people come up afterwards and be like, you see that tombstone over there? Yeah, that was my creepy uncle, and here's what he did. And it's stuff that we're not going to put on the tour because it happened in like 88, but still, it's interesting, you know, hearing about it.
You know, I live right by a crazy cemetery. So it's Showman's Rest is there right outside of Chicago, where there's a huge train derailment in like 1900, and they buried the elephants and like all the performers. And they're kind of like in this huge, not all of them have names. It's just like Clown Number Six, it's crazy. And they have elephant statues everywhere in the graveyard. But up until last year was the last one. Every year they did the International Clown Festival in the cemetery, where clowns from all over the world would perform in the cemetery and people would come. When I moved up here, the first time I drove by, I thought it was a joke. I didn't understand. Clowns everywhere in a cemetery with children. You can't even make that up. Google that when you have some time and just look at the photos and then try not to cry.
Yeah, I've never heard. I've heard of that incident, but yeah. I didn't know about the addition of the cemetery.
It's crazy. I drive by it it's on my way to the studio here, so I drive by it every day, and there's the big elephant statues and everything. Yeah, and it's pretty crazy, pretty creepy.
Amazing. Yeah. I was very excited to see the Non Rouge in there because. He had a pretty good run in the Miss Cryptid contest. I think it was last year or the year before. And so, yeah, I was familiar with him, and I loved seeing his stuff make it into the book.
The Nine Rouge is a good one because that's a solid Detroit legend. It's like one of the oldest ones. And for any listener out there that's like, what is that? It means red dwarf in French. And it's just, he's been known to be a little harbinger of doom. He shows up and then everyone's like, oh no, something bad's going to happen. And I guess bad stuff has happened allegedly. But then you guys might be familiar with John E.L. Tenney, who's like wonderful paranormal researcher extraordinaire. And he for years has protested this Nine Rouge parade that happens in Detroit that started over a decade ago. Because the parade started as this thing to push the Nine Rouge energy out of the city of Detroit once and for all, so we can usher in prosperity and all kinds of good stuff back to Detroit. And John Tenney says, no, don't push him out. He's actually Detroit's ancient guardian. And the reason why he shows up before Calamity is because he's trying to warn you guys, you idiots, that something bad is going to happen. So there's this kind of little two sides to the story. And when John first started protesting the event in good fun, like he had little signs that say support the short, love you, Nyan, like
that's awesome.
Goofy stuff. But like the people that started it were like not happy with him. There was people showing up and they'd spit on him, almost punch him. Like, he got into some weird stuff. And it's like, dude, this is like a legend from the 1700s. Like, calm down, calm down.
They're all like, everyone knows our real protector's RoboCop. OCP, OCP. Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Okay, so that's the weird thing. There's always a strange paper mache RoboCop thing and the parade, too. So he does make an appearance.
Little did they know if they pinata'd that thing open, the Nine Rouge would be in there. Yeah,
probably. He comes just scurrying out, scampering. Ah, crap. Here comes Calamity.
He's like Detroit's own Mothman.
Kind of, yeah, a little bit. It's cool that legend has been embraced. I mean, you get a ton of people that show up at that parade and they're like, what the hell are we celebrating? Well, people do dress up like the devil. Like, it's weird because he was just described as like a little red dwarf, like kind of almost like a goblin like creature.
Yeah.
And then over time, he's kind of more represented as like just sort of like, yeah, like your red faced traditional Satan, which it's fun. It's fun. But it's a cool thing that we celebrate this still. What was I saying earlier? Oh yeah, people show up to this thing and they're like, we don't even know what the Nine Rouge is. We're just here to drink and wear like a hot dog costume. So it doesn't, like, a lot of it doesn't make sense. It's just a very, very strange Mardi Gras type thing going on. But it's cool. I'm glad it's been embraced and people still talk about it.
Why are all these cryptids always harbingers of doom of one reason? And what do I have to do in my life to be referred to as a harbinger? I don't want to put that on my resume somehow.
You should be like Jessica Fletcher. You just show up like, and then there's a murder. And then you're like, oh, I guess I'll help solve this.
The most prolific murderer in our time, Jessica Fletcher. Oh, another dead body, you say? and a bingo hall? I'll have to go there.
I did write about another cryptid monster that showed up in Michigan called he's just kind of known as the Sister Lakes Monster or like the Dewey Lake Monster. And he was just, I don't know, I guess he was like a Bigfoot type thing. But he shows up, like, speaking of Mothman, he's like our 1960s creature stomping around the state. And in 1964, like, people started reporting seeing this, like, almost 9 foot tall, maybe 500 pound, like, black hair covered creature with reflective eyes. And you got people that are working on farms that are hunters seeing this thing at night in their headlights going, that's not a bear. That's not an animal we recognize.
Right.
And all these phone calls start flooding the police department. And think about how many people probably didn't report things because they're just too embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And so the cops start going, okay, we got to check this out. And they had been getting reports for almost like 2 to 5 years or something like that. But now they suddenly increase. So they're like, oh God, do we really have like some dangerous animal like out in the woods stalking the people of the Sister Lakes area, which is like this quaint, beautiful little tourist area in the summer. And so the cops started to go look, and the word got out so fast that they had to stop their monster hunt at night because they had to start directing traffic because people started coming in going nuts, like, where's the monster? We want to see the monster. And it got carried away because you had everybody bringing in like handguns, baseball bats, all kinds of like.
There's something that's not hurt anyone out here. Let's kill it.
Yeah, exactly.
That is the human way.
Exactly. And there was one guy, I know there was a quote, and I think I put it in my book about one of the police officers saying, I'd feel safer if it was just me and the monster because of everything that was going on. And then one of the stores started because, of course, all the stores and the restaurants just jumped on this from a marketing perspective. They're like, oh, yeah, let's do monster sandwich specials, monster beer. Let's call our gas getaway gas and up the price. And then they, one store, hardware store.
Sorry, that was funny for some reason.
They made a Monster Hunters kit for $7.95. And I find this funny because this was probably more marketed towards children. And they got a flashlight. They got a mallet, wooden mallet. They got one arrow, a baseball bat, and a net. So I don't know. This is what you want to, I guess, approach a 500-pound, 9-foot monster with. Like, maybe.
Yeah, melee weapons. That's what I, yeah.
Everyone knows you take Bigfoot hand-to-hand, close quarters, you know.
So he disappeared, though. Like, they never found anything. Like, people speculate, like, made wild speculation about what it was. One of the weirdest ones was, it's an escaped circus gorilla. Because that was a common thing to lose. And
not a day goes by they don't read about another escaped circus gorilla. It's a pandemic in this country. At least Michigan, though, it's an area where you would think you would actually see a Bigfoot. You know, sometimes you hear about these and they're in the middle of, like, you know, a very, very urban area. At least Michigan is very, you know, still beautiful and wild. And as I hear on the radio all the time, pure.
Pure said Michigan. By Tim Allen.
Yeah, thank you, yeah. Tim.
I do feel like this, if this was not a bear or some other weird creature that no one could somehow identify, it is possible that it was one of our like lovable local Bigfoots. Because the weird thing about this is people described it as either honking like a goose or making the sound of a crying baby.
Whoa.
And if you will go into your Bigfoot research, they'll talk about a thing called mimicry, where these creatures have been known to mimic the sounds of humans or animals. And I think, well, okay, it does a baby because what's going to draw a human in? Like the sound of a baby. And then maybe it does a goose honking because that's the most boring bird ever. And people are like, we're not interested in that.
Or the most violent. I don't know if you've ever been around a goose. Well,
or that.
Not to be trifled with.
It tries to mimic the most savage animal it's ever met in its life, which happens to be a goose. Sorry, David, go ahead.
No, that's a common theme in a lot of Native American lore. Too.
Yeah.
It immediately makes me think of Pyramid Lake out in, I believe it's Nevada, where they have the water babies in this this little lake that has a rock kind of in the middle of it jutting out like a pyramid. And at night, you know, if you're around there at night, you hear a baby crying, you think, oh, you know, something, there's a baby drowning down here on the shoreline. You run down there, and then these little creatures, these little goblin-like creatures, crawl up and grab you and drag you into the to the lake. And yeah, it's all about the baby crying and everybody. And I've heard that with a lot of Bigfoot stories too. So yeah, it's pretty wild.
Oh, that stuff's spooky to me because I think it's funny how everyone like gets spooked out by ghosts and stuff like that. But this moment you mention UFO or not UFOs, but well, that too, but Bigfoot or cryptids or something, they're like, oh yeah, that doesn't exist or whatever. And I'm like, that's spookier stuff to me sometimes than ghosts these days. Like the first time I heard those, what is it? The Moorhead sounds, Moorhead tapes. It was on, I was watching that David Politis, Missing 411, The Hunted or The Hunters. And they played this recording of what allegedly, I don't know if it was from the 70s, where these guys had a base camp somewhere and recorded these insane vocalizations. And it just gave me the chills. I'm
is
like,
that the Sierra sounds? Is that
yes,
the,
yes, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's it. Oh my God. Like those freaked me out when I heard those. And that, I don't know. That's the kind of stuff. I'll take a ghost or an apparition any day. Like I don't want to run into that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the, you know, it can even be, I've even seen videos where people are camping or something. There's elk or something in the, and they're doing their screams at night. And if you don't know what it is,
yeah,
it's terrifying. Yeah. But then elk when you, record it and other people are like, I don't know what that is. Then that's even like, ah, great. Glad I was there. You know, good Lord. Do you do any, I know like you do your lectures, you do your graveyard tales. Have you done any like out in the woods, Bigfoot research or anything like that?
No, that is one thing I have never done. And I probably would do it, but like I just said, I'm like, I don't know if I need to go look for Bigfoot or not, because my luck, I'll be one of those people on David Paulides, missing 411 books or
Bigfoot
something.
Should like, be looking for me.
But it would be cool. It would be interesting to hear, like go out there and see if like you hear knocks or put like apples out there. Well, see, you do that kind of stuff. And I'm like, something's going to eat this. How do I know Bigfoot ate it? Because I know people will leave offerings or try to do like a bait pile. I'm like, that's just another animal eating that.
I mean, right. I guess,
unless you put that trail cam out there and then see like, you know, a skunk ape come up and start eating it. Like, well, oh.
I grew up in the country on farmland, and it does. You put food out, you turn your back, there's possums, raccoons, coyotes, everything getting into it. So, you know, and it's also, you like you said, you watch the shows and like, well, this tree's been over. Definitely squatchy. Yeah. Like, or like, you know, it's just got pushed over. But, you know. Yeah,
or you just walk through that area.
Yeah, one of the two. Yeah.
The thing we have in Michigan is like Dogman. Dogman's popular here. And I know people that have sworn up and down, and like trustworthy people I know, that they've been driving up north and it'll be night and they have seen things stand up on two like hind legs and just walk off in the woods that way. And they were like super startled by it. So I don't know. And of
sounds
course,
like something a youper would say.
Have you had that in your pocket just waiting to drop it this whole time?
No, she just set up north and it was like, boom.
Not yet. There it is.
I don't know if Dogman, he's not as seen down state where us trolls are as the youper would call us.
Under the bridge.
Yeah. He's more popular in like northern Michigan and the UP.
But yeah, the Dogman tales, they are kind of crazy. And they're always like, you know, people are driving and they're like, and like you said, it stands up and walks away. Or then you got the, not from Michigan, of course, but you've got the stories of them standing up like they're on break smoking at a Skinwalker Ranch and just hanging out, you know? So maybe they're not that scary. Maybe they just need to take a puff. I don't know.
They're smoking the wrong stuff.
I guess so. Maybe I was smoking before I saw them. One of those things. I don't know. Well, if everyone wants to find you, what's your best place? Where should everyone go to buy your books, to read what you're doing, and of course to come see you live, because you, like I said, you do so many speaking engagements.
You can find me at mysteriousmichigan.com or amberrosehammond.com if you want to send me an email. Don't be creepy. You can find me on Facebook if you just type in Mysterious Michigan. You can follow me on there. I don't really post a ton because I'm kind of cringy about social media, but, you know, it's there. I don't use Twitter because that's a dumpster fire area. But you can find me in all the usual spots. The best book I love. I really appreciate it when people buy the book directly from me because, of course, that helps support your local independent authors versus like, you know, giving all the money to Amazon or, you know, bigger corporations. But also you can always go to your local independent bookstore, which is also a great choice, and order the book from there. It's from Arcadia Press, History Press. So it's available nationwide, wherever you are. It's not just local to Michigan. And you can find me over at ghostlytalk.com where I sometimes chat with my co-host Scott Lambert. On our podcast, and we talk about all things weird, spooky, and strange.
You have the best tagline. Dead air never sounded so good.
It really is
awesome.
They did a contest back in, it was probably when the show first started, within the first year or something. So probably in 2003 or 4, I don't know. They did a tagline contest, and that was the winner. And it still holds up after all this time. It's great. It's great.
Yeah, I was like, it's one of those things. You're like, why didn't I think of that? Dead air. What an idiot. You know, it was right there the whole time. Now, that is awesome.
And we're actually going to hear more from both you guys over on Quiz Quiz Bang Bang and Blurry Photos coming up this month because Brent and Amber Rose were a team playing in our trivia format against Derek Hayes, yep. Monster yep. Among yep. Us.
It was the two of us against him.
Against the world. So that'll be a lot of fun. Look forward to that.
Yeah. Will we win? Will we lose? Time will tell. Read the book.
Read the book.
Well, Amber, thank you so much for joining us today. We had a blast.
You guys.
And
you guys are the best to talk to.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I know. Thanks. I am. So you're welcome. thank you. And if you guys, like you said, we're going to have links to all of her stuff in the show notes. So make sure you check her out. Give her a follow. Buy the books. Support her. And if you are in the area or have means to get there, come see her live. And we're going to be back after this with more Hysteria 51.
How about that, Brent? Amber Rose is great. We set her up. She knocked him down. Man, I can't praise her work enough because it's right in the sweet spot of telling. Like I think I mentioned this. It's right in the sweet spot of telling these stories, getting all the weirdness in there, but giving it such a robust historical context that. It's just a pleasure to read her work.
She has one of those like encyclopedic memories of names and things that my problem is names and dates just go right out of my head.
Oh, yeah.
And she's you do a great job with that too. She's great. Another there's so many people out there that I think of when I think about that and are so much better than me. And that is what it takes to be able to, when you hear these things, you know, think of like Rob Christopherson, which he hears one thing and he can tell you like the history of everyone that was involved and stuff. I've read it all, but then I went to sleepy time and that all just filtered out. She just is like an encyclopedia. And I mean that like out of jealousy.
Yeah.
I think it's the best way to say it.
Yeah. Dates are not my friend for sure, but
yeah.
What I enjoy is she finds some I would call it obscure history just because I'm not local,
right.
But it's not obscure to them. You know, she was talking about the guy Ward who was the millionaire and his family and stuff, and it's like there's all kinds of wild, crazy stories, I'm sure, from everybody's neck of the woods. But she's really honed in on a bunch of great ones from the Michigan area, and they're fascinating. And you're always going to learn something because, I mean, unless you know every player in Michigan's history, you know, from Cadillac up to friggin' Ford. Lee Iacocca, I don't know.
Lee Iacocca, who I always thought should have been a terrorist, but instead he was just a huge mogul in the automotive industry. Well, that's
was,
true.
Right, I guess.
Well, that's true. That's terrible. I don't mean a terrorist, but he's just like one of those. I think for whatever reason, that name is just like I always go to the wrong part of my brain when I hear Lee Iacocca.
I think it's because it sounds so close to Ayatollah, right?
Probably, yeah. No Khomeini in that though. So,
but there's, you know, she does a great job with telling that information, giving you enough history to where it doesn't bog you down, but it sets up like what's going on at the time when they were alive, what everybody else was kind of doing around them. To have these weird things happen to them and how it was involved. And
I guess if you're into well thought out and put together history, that's also entertaining. She might be, you know, that's
don't
if you're
shame.
Into that. That's right. What was I thinking? Nah, she does a fantastic job. And I think we said this in the beginning, but please go to the show notes or just Google her. You'll find her web pages. You'll find her show. Which I said is the greatest tagline ever. Did air. Why didn't I think of that? I feel so dumb. Anyway, please, please, please give her a follow. And hopefully you're also already following us. But if you're not, shame on you, number one. What are you doing with your life? Let's have a conversation about that. Anyway, no. If you want to follow us, you can Google us. You'll find us everywhere. You can go to hysteria51.com. It's got links to everything in there. 773-669-7277 is our phone number if you want to leave a voicemail, or just go to that aforementioned hysteria51.com, click on the microphone, leave a message, leave a song. Write David a song. He needs one.
Ooh.
Write what's in your
heart.
Write
me a jingle, like a commercial jingle.
Yeah.
What will... What if I'm a fast food restaurant? What would my jingle be?
I don't know, but I can tell you the name of your fast food. Cabbage John's. Come on down to Cabbage John's.
We got sauerkraut, cabbage, coleslaw, that's it.
Full stop. It's like Cane's, but different.
Yeah, do one thing, do it well.
Well, Cane's is out. Anyway, shots fired. What's going on in your neck of the woods? You got anything?
I'll direct everybody. We mentioned it, but I'll direct them back to Quiz Quiz Bang Bang. Or I think I'm going to put it up on the Blurry Photos feed as well. But Brent and Amber Rose's episode playing paranormal trivia with me hosting. A lot of fun. And you might be able to recall some of the crap that I asked them and play along, see how you do, yeah. See if you can beat them, see if they win, see
it's
if they lose.
It's us and a Mr. Derek Hayes.
That's right.
From Monsters Among Us. Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. And so we have links on all the Hysteria 51 stuff to that, too. So make sure you give that a listen. And then you've got you're in the middle of October.
Blurry Photober. That's right.
Blurry Photober.
I am heating up all the irons, and I'm going to douse them and everything. Heating up all the hot pockets. Get ready the roofs of your mouths, because these things are going to come in like napalm.
Put me in your mouth. I'm ice cold, but it'll burn you somehow. I don't know how it happens.
I've got a few planned. We're going to do a film review. I've got, of course, the annual ghost stories at the end of the month, and then I've got another one that I'm researching for and reading a big old book on. So they're taking a little while to bake in the oven, but they're gonna pop out like little muffins.
I don't know, man. I heard from Yee that books are for suckers, so I don't know. I don't know why you're reading those books. That's Kanye, if you're keeping up, nasty.
I'm going to abstain. Let me take a step back here before I get in a little bit of trouble.
So, yeah, kids, that's been everything. Give Amber Rose your love. Give her your follows. Give her your dollars and buy her books.
Yeah, go to do it on the website, on her website.
Yeah, buy them straight of a cut from her. Mm-hmm. And, with that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
He's been Conspiracy Bot. Just kidding, thank God.
Fuck you, Conspiracy Bot.
It's terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand shine.